Okay, all right. Good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. Okay. This is half of the story about a meal that Jesus had with his disciples. And it is a meal that all Christians should have together. Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, we are not able to have this meal as usually. But there is grace. Even though you cannot do what you'd like to do and what you know God has for you, there is still grace that covers over that thing. So, before I go too long, let's read the story together. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 7. Please join me at verse 17. I'll read from verse 7 until 16. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all unfurnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Let's read together. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. The very word of God. Amen. So, there is a strange thing about Christians. The symbol for Christians is the cross. If you think about that, it is crazy. It's very strange. Do the people from Hiroshima, do they wear a necklace with the atomic bomb? No, right? That's just, why would you do that, right? They will wear a bracelet or a necklace with a peace symbol, right? Or they put the peace symbol on their clothes, right? A print. Not the atomic bomb. How about Jews? Do they wear a necklace with a gas chamber? No. Or they do wear a t-shirt with the prison camp? No, that's crazy, right? But Christians, we'll put the cross on our neck. That is, the cross is a symbol of death, right? So in the beginning of Christians, the beginning of the church, the people say, that's so foolish. Why is your symbol a symbol of death? Right? But the Christians said, no, we will not change it. We're going to keep this symbol. This is our symbol. Because Jesus is our way. Jesus is our life. And the way of Jesus is the way of the cross. And so what happened was, the first Christians, they understood, this cross is so important that the message and the meaning of this cross is what makes me a follower of Jesus. If I don't have the cross, I cannot be a Christian. Where do they get this idea? They get this idea from Jesus himself. Because Jesus himself said, the most important thing to have my life, you have to understand my death. Okay? So watch this. I want you to stay with me. I'm going to do something with my words that's a kind of, I don't know. Okay, just follow me, okay? The greatest symbol of Jesus' life is the cross, okay? It's death. The greatest symbol of Jesus is death, all right? The greatest symbol of Jesus' death is a meal. It's a dinner. Jesus says, you want to follow me? You want to change your life? You want to be transformed? And that transformation will bring a transformation to the world? Understand my death. If you want to understand my death, understand this meal, this table, this bread, this cup. Understand that, you will understand the cross. Understand the cross, that's where the change will come, transformation. This is so important. I have been waiting to teach this chapter and these verses since last year. I've been looking forward to it for so much, and there's so much in my mind. I'm going to speak only 20 more minutes, but I have 20 hours of thinking, 20 days of thinking about this, okay? During the time I was thinking about it, I always thought, oh, Seisanshiki, the communion, right? We'll have the communion, but COVID came, so it's okay. There's grace. So let's go into this meal. Verse 7 to verse 13. It's the introduction. And first thing I want you to see is it's just a simple story of the preparation. And what happened? Jesus says, okay, we'll have this special meal at some place. The disciples said, where? And Jesus says, it's okay. Go to the town. There's a man carrying a water. And talk to him. And say to him where the master wants to know where the place is, and he'll take you, and it's all ready. It's very simple to follow, but I want you to just think of one thing. Someday, coming soon, I don't know, in the new heaven and the new earth, in the new Jerusalem, I'm going to be walking on the streets of gold somewhere, and I'm going to meet somebody and sit down, and someone will sit next to me, and he'll say, hi, do you know, I'm in the Bible. I'll say, oh, really? You were in the Bible. I studied the Bible all my life. Who are you? What's your name? Your name is in the Bible? He said, no, my name is not in the Bible. I said, what? Well, are you in the Old Testament? Are you in the New Testament? He'll say, I was in the New Testament, right? And he'll and I'll say, oh, where? And I'll say, you remember the meal? The room had to be prepared? That's me, right? I can't wait to meet him, okay? Yeah. No name, but he's in the most important story. You know, we have this nice stage, and there's many people who stand on the stage. But there are people who made the stage. You'll never know their name. There's people in the kingdom of God. They're not on the stage. There's no light on them. But they're in the back. And they're preparing. And they're adjusting. And they're doing things to make the stage happen. To make the shine, or the light shine. Jesus knows you. Maybe you don't have a name that everybody knows. The name in heaven knows your name. Yeah? And I can't wait to meet him. It's going to be fun. I'm going to ask him, well, you know, what did he say to you? How did you follow him? But that's okay. That's not in the text. Okay. So, there's this word Passover, tsuikoshi, right? If you want to understand this meal, you have to understand the history. It's a Passover meal. So if you don't know, I'm happy to tell you real quickly this story. The people of God, a long time ago, were slaves in Egypt. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions. They were under a powerful king, Pharaoh, in Egypt, who would make them work until death. They cried out to God, God, save us! We're dying. We have no rest. We work 7 days, 8 days, no holidays. Do you know how that feels? Yes? No holidays? And so they're being oppressed, and so God says, I will set you free, and I will, here's what I'll do. I'm going to bring my judgment on Egypt. And I'm going to send my angel of justice. Maybe you think it's the angel of death. And yes, it is, but there's a better word. It's the angel of justice. Here's what God said he'll do. I'm going to bring justice on all the land. Justice means I will be fair. Everyone who oppressed and exploited and everyone who killed and treated another person wrong, everyone who sinned against each other and against God, I'm going to bring justice onto their house. I don't care if it's Egyptian or Jewish. My angel of justice will enter every house. But I will provide a way to escape. Here's what you do. You're going to take a lamb, not a sheep, small, cute, innocent, pure lamb. Kill it, cook it, eat it. And then you take the blood and you put the lamb's blood on top of your door and on the sides. And what happens is, when my angel of justice comes down into Egypt, if my angel of justice sees the blood of the lamb on your door, he will pass over your house and not bring death into the house. Are you following? Okay?
Yeah.
He'll pass over. That's called the tsuikoshi. Now, we're going to... What happened was, that was the event that set Israel free. The Jewish people became a nation after that. And so God said, every year at the new year, I want you to eat a meal that remembers that night. You take the lamb that you've been raising up, kill it, cook it, eat it, and you remember the blood. So every year, here's what happens. The family comes together. You know, like in Japan you have, well, today is Valentine's Day. Oh, happy Valentine's Day. But no, I have too many stories, but we'll pass that. Christmas. In Christmas, Japan, it's a couple's holiday, right? And then New Year's Day in Japan, it's the family's holiday. And the families come together, and they have osechi ryori, and then the children, the oba-san says, have some oshikoshi soba. And the soba means long life. And then you eat the mame, kuro mame. And the mame, kuro mame means what? Shiawase? No. Kuro, right. And anyway, so every item of the food in the osechi ryori has a special meaning, right? Same thing in the Passover. Every year, in the new year, the family comes together. Here's what happens. The smallest child will say, why do we have this meal? And then the father will say, from the story of Deuteronomy, we have this meal because in Egypt, our people were slaves, okay? And they'll have this. And then they'll bring out the cup, and they'll drink the cup together. And then they'll bring out the bread, and then there'll be the bread, and the father will say, this is the bread of our pain and suffering. This is the bread of our affliction. And they break the bread, and they'll eat it together. And then after that, they'll sing a song. Psalm 115 to 120. And then they'll have another cup. So it's four times they'll drink a cup of the wine, right? And then there's a special bread. Jesus has this meal. It's the Passover meal. And Jesus says, here's this cup. And he says, Verse 15. Yes. He says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. That's a hard translation from the English, from the Greek. He says, here's what it says in the Greek. I have desired with desire. Epithumao, epithumia. I have wanted to want, and I desired. I couldn't wait. I waited and waited. I'm so finally happy that we have this meal together. Finally. With you. Because why? This cup we drink now. But after this, this cup is using the past event to talk about the future hope. And so this cup I drink now, we're going to drink it again someday. It's going to be when the kingdom comes. When I return and the new heaven and the new earth come, we're in the new Jerusalem, and we're all seated together. Not just a little mitake table, but the whole table, maybe very long, maybe very wide, I don't know. But Jesus will sit with us. I've waited, but I'm still waiting. So, and then he says this. He gets the bread. Now usually, the one, you know, the one who's leading the dinner, he'll say, this bread is the bread of our suffering in Egypt. But what does Jesus say? What does he say? This bread is the bread of my suffering, my pain, my affliction. The disciples, if they're listening to this, it's like the record is playing and then all of a sudden, scratch, huh? That's not the script. 違う違う違う違う。That's 原稿外れ。But Jesus says, no, 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 you don't understand. This bread is a different bread. All of the times they were eating the bread, all of the time they were eating the lamb, all of the time they're killing the lamb. That lamb is not about freedom from Egypt. That lamb is about me. I am the Passover lamb. If you notice, you see, In the original Passover, there's three things. The wine, the bread, and the lamb, the meat. You drink the wine, you eat the bread, and you eat the lamb. Well, in this meal, they drink the cup, they eat the bread. Where's the lamb? Ah, okay, okay, okay. Well, it's Luke. He's cutting the story to make it short and simple. Luke, the writer, of course, he cuts out that. No, 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 no. Matthew, who has this story, doesn't talk about eating the lamb. Mark has this story, no lamb. Jesus is saying, this cup is different. This bread is different, and there's no lamb. Because I am the lamb. My death covers over you. Let me make this quick. I don't have much time. You look at Jesus on the cross. You see his blood dying for you. And if you believe that Jesus Christ's blood is above your life, not your door, your life, and you trust in that blood, you say, that blood that Jesus shed, that's my hope, not my job, not my success, not my marriage, not my family, not my pleasure, not anything. That blood is my hope. If you do that, God's judgment will pass over you, and you are in the people of God. Amen? That's what he's saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. Okay? Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, has been slain. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. So I want one last thing, and I want to apply this to our life. It's very profound, okay? There's the blood, but at the middle, two times there's the cup. Verse 17, after taking the cup, he gave thanks. And then verse 20, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. So there's different times to eat. In the middle, there's the body, the bread. Okay, so look at verse 19. He took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me, my body. Why his body? Why breaking the body? Because we need to understand what we were singing. We were singing about God's forgiveness. And, oh, this is what I love about singing at Mitaki. We just let the song go long. We sing for 30 minutes. We'll sing one song for 6-7 minutes. It's healing. The music is washing over me. And I'm singing the same word, forgiveness, grace. And the forgiveness, I'm letting it come into my heart as I sing it from my mouth. And we're talking about forgiveness. Let me tell you about forgiveness. Because if you can't understand forgiveness, you can't be transformed, okay? Here's the thing about forgiveness. People say, well, why does God need to die so we can be forgiven? If God is forgiving, why cannot he just say, you're forgiven? Why does somebody have to die? He can just say, oh, you know, I forgive you. I love you. 大丈夫. No? People who think that don't understand forgiveness. Because what happens? Somebody hurts you. Somebody insults you. Somebody does evil to you. You have two options. Option one, you can hate them. Right? they do evil to you, you return evil for evil. You hate them, you talk about them, you gossip about them, you ignore them, you're cold to them, you're violent against them, whatever, you hate them. The problem is, if you do that, they suffer, but also the evil is in your heart, right? Your heart becomes hard, cold. So their evil now is in you. You lose. Okay? All right. That's option one. Option two. You forgive them. Okay? But what happens if you forgive them? Here's how you forgive. You say, I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to slander them. I'm not going to pay them back. I'm not going to hurt them. Okay? I'm not going to fight against them. They hurt me. I'm not going to hurt them. In fact, if I forgive them, when they come into the room, I'm going to be as nice as possible. When they do something good, I'm going to say, good job. And when something good happens to them, I'm going to be happy. Can you do this? All right? It's impossible, no? If you can't say amen, you should say ouch. Right? Because that's forgiveness. That's suffering. If you forgive, they don't suffer, you suffer, right? Okay, so. All right, so here's the options. Somebody hurts me. I make them suffer. I get the evil. I lose. Somebody hurts me, I forgive them, I suffer, I lose. Now that's impossible for us. How about God? Think of all the sin, all of the evil, all of the pain you did against God. Right? And God says, I'm going to forgive you? No, if God's going to forgive, someone must pay. Someone always must pay. If it's between humans, the one who forgives must pay. Payment in the Bible is called atonement. Aganao, atone. And so God says, my son will be the payment. Only Jesus, his body must be broken. Why Jesus? Because he's a man, he can die. And his death is our death. He is our substitute. But also because he is God, his death can pay for all of our sins. His death can cover all of our rebellion. He is the perfect atonement. He is the Lamb of God that covers the sins of the world. So, that's his body, broken for us. Now let's apply it to our lives. Here's what it is. Look at the word, verse 19. At the very last, he says, do this in remembrance of me. This is how your life can be transformed. Do this in, the key word is remembrance. Remembrance. Kinen. Now, why does Jesus make this a meal? Why does the most important thing that Christians can do to follow Jesus is the meal? Why not praying? Pray in remembrance of me. Sing in remembrance of me. Get together in remembrance of me. No. Eat the meal in remembrance of me. Why? Because. How do you get nourishment in your body? If you have a steak dinner in front of you, you look at the steak. Oh, that's a beautiful steak. You take a picture of the steak and you put it on Facebook or Line, right? Right? But you don't eat it. Does it help your body? No, right? Okay. Steak, salad, dessert, cake, pasta, whatever. Unless you take it into your body, you cannot be refreshed. Now, you could say, oh, okay, fine. I'll eat the steak. I'm finished. I'll never need any food again. No. After 5 hours, you're hungry, all right? Or for some of you, because you're so strong, you maybe 12 hours, maybe 18 hours, right? You can go, but after time, you need to eat again. Yeah? Jesus says, here it is. You want power? You want the nourishment from heaven? You want the spiritual energy from me? You need to think about it again and again and again. Like a meal. You need to come back and come back and come back. You need to think about my death again and again and again. That's a meal. It happens again. That's the word remember. Remember means come back again and again and again and again. And as you come back to me, you surrender to me, you give yourself to me, you take my body into yours, you understand forgiveness. All right, this will, we're going to close with this. It will help you. The cross, the body, will help you deal with your past, your present, and your future. And we'll end. All of your sins, everything you've done in the past. You know, I was in the shower last night. This is crazy. I don't know what happened. Ah, yes, I know what happened. I was talking with my son last night. Very long conversation. Well, not conversation. I was lecturing my son last night. And I was in a bad mood, okay? So I'm in the shower, and that conversation made me think about a conversation 6 years ago, not with him, but with other people. And these people, oh, they did terrible thing to me, right? They insulted me, they did terrible thing. And I thought 6 years ago, I thought I forgave them. I thought, oh, God, they're fine. I forgive them. I pray for them. Okay. And then the pain and the anger and the hurt came back in the shower. Does this happen to you or just me? Okay, I'm not alone, thank you, right? And I just think, okay. I have to do this again. I have to bring this pain to the cross again. It's in the past, but because of Jesus' blood, I can put that forgiveness to that pain again and again. Yeah. But that's what God does with you. All of your, look, there's a song. Let the devil roar of all the things I've done. I remember, plus thousands more. My Jesus remembers none. The devil can look at you and say, you're a Christian? You're a follower of Jesus? Look at all your sins. And you say, yeah, but I have thousands more. But Jesus looks at you through his blood that he shed. He sees zero. From the east to the west. Pure. Right? Hallelujah. That's all of your past. That's from the blood. That's from the body. Now your present hope. Now your present suffering. There is suffering. There's the talk about Judas who betrayed him, the suffering of betrayal. I don't have much time, but many of us are suffering now. We have things we are worried about, anxious about. There's pain that people give to us that we're suffering from. It's financial, it's physical, it's emotional, psychological suffering. We're suffering. Maybe we're on a cross. And here's what a lot of atheists, this is what an atheist, and people I respect, there's some very smart, good people who don't believe in God. This is what they'll say. And it's a very good point. They'll say, I look at the earthquake or the typhoon or the tsunami. I look at the pandemic. Children are dying. Innocent people suffer, right? Right? It's evil. There's no reason for it. They're not bad people. They're children. If these poor people can suffer for no reason, there can be no God. It's the problem of evil. Here's what the Bible says. Maybe in your mind, you're thinking, there's suffering, this evil. I cannot think with my mind of any reason this can be good. Therefore, there is no reason this is good. Follow me. In my human, in my small, in my limited mind, I can't think that this suffering can be good. Therefore, there's no way this can be good. Does that make sense? In my little home, in my little apartment, in my thinking, not God's thinking, in my thinking, it's not good. Therefore, there's no way. It seems logical, but no. The Bible says God's ways are higher than our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's ways are higher than ours. We cannot see any good that comes from this evil, this suffering, this pain. That does not mean God cannot use it. Because we look at the cross, Jesus, the greatest evil, the greatest pain that could ever suffer, a perfectly innocent man being murdered for another person. But through that evil, God made something good. He brought the salvation of the world. The body of Jesus Christ, the suffering, brought something good. So I don't know your suffering, your pain, your loss. I don't know your emotional stress that you're almost dying under. But if you look at the cross, if you take the body of Jesus Christ onto yourself, into yourself, you have a strength. Because you know, not just believe, you know, maybe I cannot see it, but I know God sees it. And God can make this evil into something good. That's your present suffering. Your past sin, your present something, suffering, and finally, your future hope. He says, I'm going to drink this cup once more in the kingdom of heaven. Once more in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm excited. So, there's a story. John chapter 2. Jesus is at a wedding. Okay? Everybody's happy. Everybody's dancing, singing, there's music, and Jesus is sipping a wine, thinking about the cross. He says he's thinking about his death. John chapter 2. Watch. In the midst of great joy, Jesus is sipping the future sorrow and suffering. All around him, everybody's happy. But he has a cup and he understands, someday I'm going to die and give my life for these people. Why? Why? So that today, in the midst of great sorrow, we can sip the cup of future hope. Do you understand? He contemplated, he received the great sorrow so that we can take his eternal hope. We're going to get the coming kingdom. We're going to drink at the table of Christ. My brothers and sisters, the best is yet to come. No one can take that away. No one. Jesus. There's no greater power. And so when he gives you his life, no one can take that away. Even death cannot take away the life of Jesus. If you believe that, oh, I want you to receive it. Here's the thing. I wish we had communion today, okay? Because here's what I would do. Here's what I would do at the very end. I would say, if you believe that, even if you're not baptized, you can come and take and remember, right? All right. But here's the next best thing. Jesus says, if there are two or three or more people gathered together in my name, what does he say? There I am. I'm in the midst, okay? We are gathered together in the name of Jesus. Jesus is here. There's no bread, there's no cup, okay? But he's here. He's here. Take him into your body. Take his body into yours. And take the cup of his blood and let it cover over your life. Okay? Keep your hope. The best is yet to come. Let's pray. Please take a moment and think and reflect on how you can have forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Picture the blood of the Lamb on the door of your life. And how God has paid for your sin through the blood. Think about how his body is broken so that you can have healing. And so, Father, we bow our heads to humble ourselves and receive what you give to us. And, Father, in exchange, we give to you our heart, our life, our hope, and then our joy and our peace, God. And for this we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's all rise, stand up as we sing our closing song together.
Take me.
one of these regrets. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it.